Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It was a wonderful, sunny, warm day. I remember those. Got a little chilly here lately. I don't know. I guess it's December, but it just feels early to me to be this cold. Can I get an amen? There are just a few announcements to make sure you're aware of. Sister Bit Predmore is watching Sister Blanche Jackson tonight, and so if you have any money to give for Brother Cam Mitchell's funeral, if you'd see Sister Nienover or Brother Don Predmore to donate for that, that would be great. And also, I needed to remind you that if you are planning to give to the pastors for Christmas, for their Christmas gift, I hope they're not watching. I'm just, by faith, they're probably passed out, not in the plane. If not, the secret's out. But if you are planning to give to that, if you would also see Sister Nienover to give for that. And seems like things are going wonderfully. There was a wedding today. Sister Aubrey Keys got married this morning, or this afternoon, to Brother Grant Millard. And so a lot of people have been there at the wedding, but I think I see people kind of trickling in. It must be just about over now. So welcome back. I'll tell you, God is doing a great work in our church. Amen? I have seen, and Pastor has mentioned many times, of the different miracles that have been going on here. But there is also a war going on. And it is a battle for souls. And the devil, the Bible says, has great wrath, knowing he has but a short time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says it like this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And John 10:10 also says, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. Do you feel it? I feel that pressure, that the enemy is on the prowl. And even though we have been witnessing great gains and great victories in our congregation, and I would love to go through and name some of those, I'll just let Pastor do that because I'll forget. And somebody will say, well, what about my testimony? We could spend the whole night giving testimonies. Not that that's a bad thing. It's good to hear them. I'm sure, though, if I gave or tried to start, that I would miss some. So I've been helping Sister Shostrand on Wednesday nights teach the new converts class. And the name is a little misleading. Not everyone who's been attending those classes are necessarily new converts. Many have been around for a while. But they have a desire to learn and discuss more of God's Word and go through a Bible study that Pastor wrote, going over the main tenets of what we believe. And I'm so very proud of these people that have been coming to these classes and these meetings. And many of them have come such a long way since they started here at our church and become part of our family. And God has done a great work in them. But it seems like just when we feel like there's some victory, that's when the enemy says, that old serpent, he just starts amping up his firepower. He starts putting on the pressure. Just when we start to feel like we've got some victory, that's when the battle seems to intensify a little bit more. At least that's how I feel. Sometimes that old enemy tries to get a foothold in, tries to bring temptations along, tries to do whatever he can to make it difficult for you to serve the Lord. Amen. I'm just testifying myself here. But not to give the devil too much credit, sometimes just life circumstances put the pressure on. Sometimes things get difficult and life gets tough. We've seen many healings, many things, but our prayer list is still really long. Someone this morning was saying, we're running out of room on the prayer board in the prayer room. And it's true, if you go in there, there's just name after name after name after name. And even though God has been doing works and healing and doing miracles in our church congregation, there's still many more that need to be done. The battle isn't over. And not to mention that we can have just our own between our two ears gets us in trouble. A lot of times, we consider the temptations that we face, the devil has nothing to do with it. Sometimes the Bible says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Sometimes it's just what's going on in here. Our fears, our anxieties, our doubts. But I don't feel like focusing this message tonight on the things that can take us down, but rather on the fact that despite it all, we have great victory in Jesus. Amen. Bishop Joe Strand this morning, I had no idea, and I love that the Lord does that because, you know, I get a little nervous. Making sure, Lord, I've got the word that you want to say. Is this really what you want for your people? And then Bishop gets up and starts talking about victory. I said, thank you, Jesus. That's exactly what I've got on the list, too. When the Lord confirms his word, amen? Yeah. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? That sums it all up right there. What doesn't fall in that list? As it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. More than conquerors. And it goes on. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing, no temptation, no situation, no circumstance, no amount of fear or doubt that you let settle in here, nothing. If you make up your mind, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. So what are you facing? What do you fear? What do you feel like might take you down? It ain't nothing for Jesus. There's nothing too hard for him. Amen. Nothing too difficult for him to take care of. There is no situation that's going to take you down. Amen. Tonight I'm going to speak on this concept. Winston Churchill once said, never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. Except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Never, never, never give in. Hallelujah. I was telling Sister Shauna up there running the system for me. She said, do you have a title? I said, never, never, never give in. And she looked at me and rolled her eyes. That's right. If you thought about giving in, never, never, never give in. I'm going to give you a Bible example of someone that did give in. And I'm going to contrast that with an example from the Bible of someone who didn't. Hezekiah in the Old Testament, he was king over Judah, and he experienced some very powerful miracles in his life. Many of you are familiar with the story. The enemy was coming against him, Sennacherib, and he was surrounding the city of Jerusalem, and Hezekiah is hearing this general tell him, don't listen. Don't listen to King Hezekiah. His God can't save you. Look at all these other nations that we've conquered. Look at all these other cities that we've conquered. They couldn't save. Their gods couldn't save them. How do you expect your God to save you? Don't listen to Hezekiah when he's telling you that God's going to save you. Don't listen, because he's not going to save you. And Hezekiah went into the house of God and said, "Do you see what the enemy is saying about you, God? Do you see? Let me just put it down here for you to read. Let me tell you what the enemy is saying about you. He says you can't deliver, but I know you can. He says you're not going to deliver us, but I know you will." And Hezekiah stood up, didn't give in, even though everything looked like they were in for, they were done for. The enemy was surrounding them, and yet he had faith that God would make a way. And what did God do? He made a way. They didn't lift a finger. The enemy heard a rumor that something was going on and had to go back to their country, and there that general was killed. That's victory. That's when there looks like there is no way and God steps in and makes a way. Amen? He had a very big victory that day. That's Hezekiah. That wasn't the only thing that God did for Hezekiah. Hezekiah got sick, and the prophet came and told him, "Get your house in order, because you're going to die of this sickness." And Hezekiah, I don't know if the prophet of God came to me and told me that you're going to die. I think I'd, "Okay, Lord, prepare me." That's not what Hezekiah did. It says before the prophet even made it out, he turned around and wailed to the wall and said, "God, I don't want to die yet." And guess what God did? Stopped that prophet and said, "Turn around and go back and tell him I've heard his prayer and I'm going to give him 15 more years. That's powerful. So Isaiah went back in and told him, "You're going to have 15 more years." That's mighty victory. Changed the mind of God that day because of the way he responded to that word. Amen. But some delegates from Babylon heard that Hezekiah had been sick, and they came to visit. And Hezekiah, just being a good host, let him in and showed him everything he had. The storehouses, the treasures, just showed him all of his kingdom. And the prophet came, Isaiah, and said, "How much did you show these delegates from Babylon?" And he said, "I didn't withhold anything. I showed them everything." And the prophet said, "You shouldn't have done that. Now, everything that they saw, they're going to take." And we know in the future that Babylon does come in and take control. But it's his reaction to this word that gets me about Hezekiah. Because he saw great victory when the odds were stacked against him entirely, and surely they would have been overrun by the enemy, and yet God made a way. And another time he was going to die, and he prayed, and God heard his prayer and extended his life. And then this third time, precedents would tell you, I don't know why he didn't just pray, and God... Because the prophet said, you know, they're going to take everything, but because you found some favor in the Lord's eyes, he's not going to do it in your lifetime. It'll be in your descendants' lifetime that it'll happen. And why Hezekiah just shrugged his shoulders and said, "Okay, at least it won't happen in my day." That's his response. Why didn't he say, "You did it two times before. You made a way and... when situations where there was no possibility of coming through, and you provided," why didn't he say, "Okay, God, I'm going to repent. Forgive me for doing it. Lord, can you make a way in this and change the trajectory like you've done before? Could you do it again?" But he doesn't do that. In my opinion, Hezekiah just gave in, shrugged his shoulders, and said, "Okay, at least it won't be in my day." And if you read the rest of the story, it's all in there in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles and Isaiah. Aren't you glad I didn't choose to read? I just summarized for you. I'd be here for a long time. But the end of Hezekiah seems quite, what's the word, inglorious, not glorious. It was not very great for the life that he led. The ending was sort of a fizzle out for him. But that's not the travesty in my mind. The travesty comes with the next king, his son, Manasseh. Manasseh was only 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned the longest reign of all the kings of Israel, Judah. He reigned for 55 years. But he was 12 years old when he took the throne. That means Hezekiah died and his son was 12. That means in that 15-year extended lifespan is when Manasseh was born. Why did Hezekiah not talk to his son about God? Why didn't he set up? And we don't know every detail. Maybe he did, but it sure seems like he left Manasseh to fend for himself. He didn't share with him the stories of how God changed the trajectory of his life because he went to him in prayer. He didn't tell him about the victories that God had. He didn't tell him, and his son suffered because of it. His son went down in history as being the most wicked of all the kings of Judah. That, to me, is the greatest travesty of this whole story, because in Hezekiah's shoulder shrugging, in his moment of, I don't care, all right, it'll just be in some offspring sometime, this will happen to them, but it won't be in my day. Well, he allowed his children to suffer for that. And because of Manasseh's sins, the Bible says that is why the Babylonian army came in and took care of that whole area, is because of the sins of Manasseh. What a travesty. The idea weighs heavy on me because we cannot give up. We as a church body must stay the course. We must teach truth. We must pass it on to the next generation. Amen. We can't let up and light up now. We can't give in. We can't say, I know this was important in my grandparents' day, and I grew up such and such way. I don't know. What is it going to be for our children if we do that? I've got to let them know the truth in God's word. Amen. I don't want to be guilty of giving in and the next generation suffering. Amen. It is up to me to make sure that I'm serving the Lord in the beauty of holiness and in truth. Amen? And that I pass that on to the next generation. I'm trying with my children, and we're involved in the Sunday school. We've been involved in youth, but it isn't on my shoulders. I can't do it alone. It's not about me. It's about this church body, making sure that we are standing true to God's word. Amen? Amen. And we do that. Hallelujah. Hezekiah failed. Hezekiah gave in. Hezekiah rolled and just said, okay. But thankfully, we have some other characters in the Bible who stood their ground. And this, Brother Shostrand mentioned not that long ago, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. Hallelujah. Got the Holy Ghost just saying his name. Shema, you remember Pastor talking about this? Shema, the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, just beans, the most basic of all the beans and all the harvest, just poor. And the people fled from the Philistines. But Shema stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. I don't know what he said. I don't know what went through his mind when everybody else was running away from the Philistines. He had his chance. He could have run too. But he decided, I know it's just some lentils, but this is the inheritance that God gave us. This is the inheritance that I have, and I'm not just going to run away and let the enemy take it. I'm going to put up a fight. at the very least. And if the enemy takes me out, I'm going home to be with Jesus. But if not, I'm defending this ground. This is what God has given me. It's mine. Amen. And he had that spirit. He said, I'm going to stand and defend even this, just a lentil field. But it represented food. It represented sustenance. And it represented the inheritance that God gave. And Shema said, I'm not just going to let go. I'm not just going to give in. I'm going to fight for this. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Amen. Aren't you glad that there are some who will not give in, who will never, never, never give in? Amen. That's my resolve. Is that your resolve? Whatever the enemy throws at me. And that's easier said than done. It's easier to say that now when you're feeling great, but when you're faced with a situation or a trial or a temptation, to remember, I'm not giving in to this. I'm not going to give in to this. Amen? What can we take away from this then, Brother Shane? We heard that before, that story. Now is not the time for surrender. I know things might be hard and seem impossible, but I'm not throwing in the towel now. It is not time for surrender. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says like this, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what are you supposed to do? Stand. Digging in my heels. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stand. It might be hard. There might be a lot of dings in this armor. But put it on again. You might have gone through some battles in the past. I know you have. You might find a place where your armor's a little bent up, a little dinged from some past battles, but put it on again. I'm not going to give up. I've got to put on the armor. I've got to defend this ground, and I have a sword. So it's not all about running away or even just staying put. Sometimes you can fight. Amen. You can be on the offense in this. You can speak to it. And say, you're coming against me, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. When I'm weak, then he is strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I teach high school, and I am teaching a new course this year, AP Chemistry. And I hate that we're recording this, but sometimes I have to teach myself what I'm going to teach them. It's been a while since I've gone through some of this college level stuff, and so I struggle through, and it would come to me eventually. Well, one day I was particularly struggling, and I thought, God, I have to teach them something that is confusing to me. And these kids, I'm pretty sure, if you knew some of them, they are smarter than me. They just don't know the content. If they knew the content, they'd blow me out of the water. Just, can we blurb that out? And I was struggling one day, and I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to get up there, and they have to take a test at the end of this year, and they have to understand this stuff, and how can they learn what I don't know myself? I was kind of struggling and having a moment, and I just happened to look at my phone, and the notification comes up, Bible verse of the day. And you know what it says right here? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. He just kind of reminded me that you might feel a little weak right now, but this is when I get to show off. Amen? And I remind him of this often. You made the chemistry, Lord. This is nothing new for you. Could you just fill me in on what you did so I can teach the kids? Oh, Lord. Transparency, maybe not the best thing. And yet, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. another church member then. I don't even know if it was a full hour after that. I don't get good service in my classroom, so when I saw my phone again, there was a text message from a saint in the church and just said, "I'm praying for you." You know, when you need it, aren't you glad that God can work in people, give you a word just when you need it? Amen. I'm not giving in. Those poor students, it might be to their chagrin, but I'm not giving in. I'm showing up the next day. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The next verse, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," if you can remember that when you're going through it, when that temptation is there, when that struggle is there, when the whatever anxiety might try to get a stronghold in your mind, if you can just remember, it's just a moment. Just get me through this moment, Lord. It's not forever. It's not a thing. This is just a moment that I'm going through. But I've got victory here, and I'm going to overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen? "For our light affliction is just for a moment, and worketh something in us for exceeding an eternal weight of glory." I'm struggling now, but there's something better coming on the other side. Hallelujah. I'm not giving up. I'm never, never, never giving in. But this takes a whole lot of trust. Ultimately, it comes down to really trusting what God said in His Word. Do you believe that He's going to do what He said He would do? He gives us reason after reason to trust Him. Can you this time? I mentioned it before. Sometimes the armor is dinged up because we've gone through battles before. But when you see that and you're getting ready to put on that whole armor of God, just remember, look what I did. Look what God did for me before. I went through this battle and made it through. I went through this struggle and God delivered me. And if you don't have a testimony about the struggle you're facing right now, somebody else in the church does. And you can remember that, oh, I remember so-and-so faced this, and I remember brother so-and-so did this and that. If he did it for them, he can do it for me. I don't have to surrender. This is not the thing that's going to take me down. Amen. Might push, might be hard. You might be pulling yourself across the finish line. Been there. But I'm going to make it. It says it in His Word, and I trust His Word. He's proven Himself too many times for me to start doubting now. Amen? Isaiah 43 says it like this, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." I think the Lord will take care of His stuff. Amen? He'll take care of me. He'll take care of you. Verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Verse 3, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Hallelujah. What can you face that He can't conquer? What can you go through that He can't take care of? Isaiah 41 and verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." He is strong. Hallelujah. Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Verse 24, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Hallelujah. "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 4, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. There's nothing that's going to take you. He's already got it in his hands. Hallelujah. And gave gifts unto men. Philippians 4:13, you can all quote it with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. There's nothing that's going to take me down. Nothing. And if whatever it is that I face ultimately does, for whatever reason, that's not a defeat in my book. I'm going to be with him in glory. Amen? There is nothing. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Because I am in his hands. Amen? There's nothing that's going to take me. So until that day, never, never, never give in. Hallelujah. Scripture is full of examples of people who didn't give up. We read about it. Shema didn't give up. The Shunammite woman didn't give up when her son was dead. You promised me this, Lord. You promised me this. And she went and God brought him back to life. Amen? Gideon, against all odds. I mean, 300 people against a whole army. But he didn't give up. Abraham, he had a promise that he never got to see fully fulfilled. He had his promised child, but he never got to see nations come from him. He never got to see it. He didn't have a church body to go to encourage him. He was a very old man. I imagine it would have been nice to have somebody just say, well, Abraham, don't forget what God promised you. You're getting discouraged. Just remember, God's got this. He promised it to you. He didn't have that. He didn't have Bible to read. And yet he held on to the promise that God gave him, and he never gave in. Hallelujah. Those three Hebrew boys had no idea when they went in the fire that they were going to come out. They just said, I know God is able to deliver us, and if he doesn't, we're still not going to give in. And they went into that fire, and I imagine that as those guards who were falling down dead because of the heat, as they were going in, I think they started to realize that something was going on here. I don't even feel hot. These guys are passing out. Go in the fire, and there's four of them. Three went in, four showed up. Hallelujah. You are not alone. At the Sweet Corn Festival, I love the Sweet Corn Festival. Actually, it's kind of bittersweet. It's a lot of work. But at the Sweet Corn Festival this year, I took my daughters to some rides, and we were riding, I don't know how many rides, and actually people were kind and gave us extra tickets, because they're expensive, and gave us some extra tickets, so we were riding a few more rides, and I was walking back to the parking lot where we were parking cars, and on my way I passed that giant slide that you climb up all the way and you ride down in that burlap sack, you know, and if your hand touches the slide, anyone ever do that, I'm a witness. You want to stay in the burlap sack. But I was walking past that and I heard loud, next shoe, next shoe. What is going on over here? So I turn over, and there's a father shouting up, next shoe. And this little girl couldn't have been older than 4 years old. This little girl just crying, scared to death of how high she's going, is going up. And every time her dad gets me, every time her dad yelled, next shoe, she'd just take her foot and put it on the next step. And then he'd yell, next shoe, and she'd take her other foot and put it on the next step, crying the whole way, scared to death, but she trusted her dad. If he's going to tell me next shoe, then I'll take the next shoe. And so she was climbing that stairway, crying the whole way, and she finally made it to the top, and he kept yelling. It was an ordeal. And she made it to the top, and she rode down, the biggest smile on her face, ear to ear, wiping tears when she got down to the bottom. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. The Lord said, would you just let me do that with you? Don't give in. She could have frozen fear, and someone would have had to go up and get her. Or she could have turned around and came back down. But she trusted her dad. She trusted that voice that her dad said, next shoe. In that little mind, that's what he needed to tell her. Not next step, not go higher, just the next shoe. I'm going to put it on the next step, all right? And she did it crying in fear the whole way, but she trusted. And that's what I felt like God said, let me do that for you. You trust me, right? Yes, Lord. You've proven yourself over and over and over and over again. I can't give up now. I'm not going to give up now. You just tell me next shoe, and even though it's scary, maybe I'm walking towards a fire, maybe I'm going to a high height I've never been before. One foot in front of the next. You tell me where to go, I'm going to take that step because I trust you. Easier to turn around. Easier to try to stay put. But God's saying, just don't give in. Take that next step. One more time, the next shoe, the next shoe, the next shoe. I feel like God is saying that tonight. Next shoe, son, next shoe, my little girl, next shoe. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Don't give up now. I didn't bring you this far to let you fall now. Doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter how long you've been serving the Lord, whether it's a short time or whether it's many years, God has already shown you new things, giving you new understandings, revealed things to you, proven himself to you. And he's got a whole lot more to take you to. It doesn't matter your age. God's got something. It's never going to stop until he calls you home. So until that moment, I'm not giving in. Shema understood this. We can stand. I'm going to close. Shema understood. On the retreat, everybody else was running away. And finally, it must have dawned on him. I don't know. He might have been running himself. And got to that field and said, now wait a minute here. If I keep going, what's going to be left? It's just some lentils, but it's my legacy. It's my inheritance. It's what God gave to me. I'm going to dig my heels in right here, and I'm going to fight back. Even if you don't know what you're going to face tomorrow, it doesn't matter. He's got it. And do you trust him? This walk with God has mountains and it has valleys. And sometimes we're on the peak of the mountain and life is good. But you've heard it before. There's nothing that grows on the mountaintop. You can't stay on the mountaintop. There's not even air enough to breathe up there. You get the experience for a minute and then you're right back down into the valley, working your way up the next one. But God, next shoe. Just take the next step. Just take the next step. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't give in. Just keep on holding on, and he's going to see you through. Amen. Would you come to the front and allow the Lord to work in you and remind you of where he's going with you? Amen.